I'd like you to open, first off, to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about things in the Old Testament as being examples for us. Hebrews talks about that. How we can look to the Old Testament and see things. I guess one way you could look at it, we can learn from people's mistakes, but we can also learn from their victories. Because we can take a lesson from Abraham, can we not? Yeah, he made some mistakes along the way, we know that, but still, that man trusted God, and the Bible makes a point of declaring that God considered Abraham to be his friend. And, you know, we've had teachings on that before about, you know, that term, friend, and that was something very special, something that you don't loosely toss around. But let's take a look here in Scripture at a few things. In Exodus chapter 13, here's what's happened. You know, Moses has gone before Pharaoh and he said, let the people go. Pharaoh won't do it. And, you know, all these plagues hit Egypt. Finally, it's the death of the firstborn. And Pharaoh says, "That you know, that's it. You know, you guys get out of here." He tells them to leave. He says, just go on, just go. So here they are. They're leaving Egypt. And if you look in verse 17, it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Okay, so what do we have here? A miracle. I mean, being released from Egypt was not nearly as big of a miracle as this cloud by day and fire by night. Because every day when they wake up, there's the cloud. Every night. I mean, at some point in time, this thing kind of shifts. I mean, whether the fire was encased in the cloud, whatever, it's not really that important, at least not at this point, as I understand it. But they had the cloud by day and the fire by night. And it says right here, that God did not take the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire away. It was always right there before the people. Okay, now jump to chapter 14 and take a look at... jump down. Well, here's what's happened. Pharaoh, he's had second thoughts. And he decides to take the army and chase after the Israelites. And if you look in verse 19, it says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. Cloud of darkness to Egypt, but it gave light to the Israelites, so that one came not near the other all the night. And then Moses stretched his hand and the water parts and, you know, they go across. But here's the thing. As these people are... Now remember, it's already said, you know, the cloud by day, the fire by night, God didn't take it away. This thing moves. In verse 19, chapter 14, verse 19, it moves. Instead of being in front of them, they could have stood right there and watched this thing as it moves and goes behind them, in between them and the Egyptians. So it protects them from the Egyptians. It's just a cloud, but it protects them from the Egyptians. It's darkness to the Egyptians, but there's light to the Israelites. Now look in one other place. Keep your finger here in Exodus, but look over in Numbers chapter 9. We're jumping ahead now, quite a period of time. And if you look here in verse 15, Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even, There was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. Now look at this verse 18 where it says, at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed, at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. In other words, they stopped journeying. Now it said a few moments ago that when the cloud moved, they took off. But here it says at the commandment of the Lord. Okay, so what do we see in this? Well, that the cloud moving or the fire moving represented a commandment of the Lord. Now it's important to remember that. And verse 19, and when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Okay, now turn back to Exodus. So what we're seeing here is that when the tabernacle was finished, we had the cloud. It's like this big old cloud was hovering over the tabernacle. And at night, it's like it changed into a fire. So there was this, you know, glow at night. You know, if they woke up in the middle of the night and wanted to get a drink of water, whatever, there it is. I mean, this glow in the sky every day, day in and day out. And as long as the cloud stood still, the fire stood still, they didn't go anywhere. That was God speaking to them, telling them, don't go anywhere. So they waited. No matter how long it was, they stayed in one place. And the moment that thing began to lift, the moment that thing began to move, the people knew, pack up, because here we go. And they knew to follow the cloud. That's how they received direction from the Lord, knew where to go. Now here in Exodus, we just read chapter 13, how it talks about that God created this thing, established this cloud by day and the fire by night, and He did not take it away from them. So let me ask you a question. How many of them do you think saw this? All of them. You say, yeah, but well, hold on. What if somebody was blind? No, you hold on. The Bible says that when they came out of Egypt, there was not one feeble one among them. So in other words, nobody had the excuse they couldn't see the cloud or the fire. Are you with me? Now, the only ones that might have had an excuse for not knowing what to do would be the little kids who didn't have a clue. Then mommy and daddy would have to say, now, Johnny, Susie, there's the cloud. And when the cloud moves, we move. When the fire moves, we move. That's God. You understand that? You have to keep your eyes on the cloud, eyes on the fire. That represents God. And, you know, little kids, you have to train them, don't you? But everybody else who had the ability to comprehend, I mean, really comprehend what the cloud represented and the fire represented, they knew this is God. It's there all the time. Just think of it this way, 12 hours of cloud and 12 hours of fire every day. You know, cloud by day, fire by night. So they know this. Now, how did they know this was God? Well, back over there in Numbers, back over in Numbers where we read it, talked about how that they kept the charge of the Lord by Moses. In other words, what that means is that Moses had explained to them, now guys, this cloud that you see by day and the fire that you see by night, this is God. This is how we know what to do, how we know where to go. Just keep your eyes on the cloud. That means God's giving us direction. And it also means He's here. all the time, because the cloud is God and the fire is God. You understand what I'm saying? So they had this instruction from Moses. That's how they knew what to do when the cloud began to move. That's how they understood exactly what it represented. Okay, now, in chapter 14, right after we have read about the cloud and the fire, that God had given it to them, it's going to be there all the time. Right after they have come out of Egypt, let's take a look at this. In chapter 14, in verse 9, "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and the horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea besides Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh," now look, "the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Okay, now, what just happened? They've been delivered from Egypt, right? And if anybody was feeble, they became unfeeble because they were healed. Not only that, but the Bible says they came out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt. All the glorious raiment or clothing, and there was, you know, the riches. They came out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt. And not only did they have all of that, but they had a cloud by day and fire by night. Well, here come the Egyptians. The army is chasing after them. Now look at this. In verse 10, "When Pharaoh got close," trust me, they knew he was coming before he was knocking on their door. They could hear, they could see. It says, "When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes." Now, do you see that phrase, that those two words, lifted up? Okay. Here's what this word lifted up, this phrase lifted up means. It means to turn away from one thing unto another. Now, what do you think they turned away from? A cloud by day and the fire by night. In other words, now think about this. Even though they didn't see God's body, they saw Him because Moses had told them, this cloud means that God is with us, and this fire means that God is with us. As long as that's there, you know God's here. And every day they would get up, there it'd be. Every night they'd go to bed, there it would be. They could, you know, pull back the flap of their tent and look out. Sure enough, there'd be the fire. Well, God's here tonight. And in the morning, they could pull back the flap and look out. Whoop, there's the cloud. God's still here, just like Moses said. But here come the Egyptians. And they turn their eyes away from one thing unto another. And just like that, they forget that God's there with them. They forget the cloud by day and the fire by night. So they start fussing about this, and they go to Moses, and they say, Moses, what? Weren't enough graves in Egypt? You bring us out here? Well, and who's going to dig the holes when we're all dead? I mean, how are we going to bury ourselves? Is that going to be you, Moses? Huh? We should have stayed back there in Egypt. It would have been better to serve the Egyptians. Didn't we tell you, Moses? You know, here they are wearing fancy clothes, and they got gold earrings, all the stuff they got from Egypt. They're all healed. Didn't we tell you, Moses? It would have been better to stay back there and serve the Egyptians. In sickness and in poverty, it would have been better to serve the Egyptians than to be rich and healthy and delivered out here in the wilderness. That's what they were saying. And here's Moses. He's listening to this, and while they're talking, he's looking over and saying, but, the cloud. The cloud is still here. Why are you saying this? God is still here. The one who brought us out, look, the cloud. We don't want to look at the cloud, Moses. We want to fuss at you and look at the Egyptians. And Moses is saying, but the cloud. God is right here before your eyes. Here He is. Well, you know the story. Waters parted. Israel goes across. Egypt, the army's trying to follow after. Waters come in. The Egyptian army gets destroyed. Now look in chapter 14, verse 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Okay, now, I'm sure this didn't happen this way, but they get across, and the waters come in, and the people are saying, Oh, wow, we're not going to die after all. And Moses could have said, you see there, I told you, didn't I? I mean, I told you from day one in Egypt that good things were going to happen, that God was going to deliver us. I told you, didn't I? And didn't I tell you, keep your eyes on the cloud? Didn't I tell you that the cloud represented God? The cloud's there all the time. God's never left. He's always been there. Yes, Moses, you told us. We're sorry. God, we're sorry. We repent for our unbelief. We're going to trust you. We're going to trust Moses because we know you're there all the time. Chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Stop. How did Moses know where to take them? Cloud by day, fire by night. So, let me paraphrase it. So Moses and all of Israel, following the cloud by day and fire by night, went from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And Moses, this word murmur, that's one word, but it carries a wallop. In other words, you've got 3 million people bellyaching at you. What am I going to drink? What am I going to drink? I'm thirsty. My wife's thirsty. The kids are thirsty. The dog, the cat, the billy goat. Everything's thirsty, Moses. Well, what are we going to do? And Moses is standing there. But the cloud, we've all been following the same cloud. That cloud has brought us to this place. Yeah, but this is a wilderness place. Who can survive in this kind of an atmosphere? Who can live out here? There's no provision. There's no sustenance. There's nothing. We'll never make it out here. But wait a minute. Cloud, fire, God. Don't you think we'll make it? No, Moses, we don't. Well, you know what happened. God worked another great work, and the people got to drink. And they sure felt better about themselves, didn't they? And they liked Moses again, and they kind of liked God again, too. Everybody's happy. Turn over to Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. So here they are, fussing again. We're going to starve to death out here. And Moses is saying, but the cloud, the fire, we've all been following the same thing. It's like they never seemed to catch on that if they were hungry, maybe Moses was hungry too. If they wanted something to eat, maybe Moses wanted something. Did they ever once wonder if we can't figure out this follow the cloud into the wilderness thing? Maybe Moses can't figure it out either. He just knows he's supposed to follow the cloud. So we follow the cloud. They're supposed to be trusting in this thing. And so here they are. What happens? They lift up their eyes away from the cloud and onto Moses and say, what are you going to give us to eat? They forgot about that, you know, things worked out okay for them to get something to drink. What are you going to give us to drink? What are you going to give us to eat? Well, you know how it worked out. They end up with manna. They end up with quail. God fed them. And so here, you know, their bellies are full and they're kicked back and, you know, they're getting sleepy and they're burping and just having a good old time, you know, after a big, you know, manna quail feast. So everybody's happy, right? Everybody's glad God's on their side. Well, look over in chapter 17. Verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord. Now see there where it says according to the commandment of the Lord? Remember we read over in Numbers how that means the cloud was moving and they were following the cloud. According to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" I mean, these people just don't give up, do they? And so here they are. We've got thirsty kids. We've got thirsty cattle. What are you going to do about it, Moses? And Moses is saying, "But..." But cloud, fire, it's still there. And it's been there the whole time. Quit taking your eyes off the cloud. Quit taking your eyes off the fire. Because that's the source. You guys come and you complain to me, but you've got to understand that when you chide me, when you complain and murmur against me, you're actually complaining against the Lord. Because what you're saying is, God... This thing of this cloud, this fire, it's a miracle. It's always there. No matter where we go, that cloud and fire is always there. I mean, we've got all this wealth, all these wonderful clothes. You have, you know, the Egyptian army was destroyed. I mean, time after time after time, you have provided, you've come through for us. But we trust Moses more than we trust you. That's why we're asking him, what's he going to give us to drink or eat? What's he going to do for us? In other words, they got their eyes completely, they looked aside, they lifted up their eyes, they turned away from the cloud and the fire, and they're looking to man for relief, for deliverance. Look at Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers 13, the spies were sent to explore the promised land. And in verse 25, it says, that they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So they've been out there for 40 days searching out the land. And if you look in verse 28, you know, they come back and they're telling the people about, yeah, we came to the land and it flows with milk and honey and here's samples of the fruit and so forth. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south and the Hittites and all these other ites. They're terrible. They're all over the place. And Caleb, verse 30, stilled the people before Moses, says, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with them said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it, we're small men, and they're great in stature. They're giants, sons of Anak, and we're like grasshoppers in their eyes." And all the congregation lifted up their voice, cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt." These people just want to die. I mean, they keep, "Would to God we had died in the..." Would to God. They don't want to die. That's just dumb to say that. You know what? They kept talking about, "Would to God we had died. Would to God..." And God finally, he says, "All right, fine, die." The whole bunch of you, 20 and older, die. I'll let the rest of them come in. You want to die so bad? Have at it. I'm going to give you 40 years to do it. Just do it. "Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." And God said, "You have prophesied your future." Now, that right there should be a clue to every single one of us. You better watch what you say. "Would God we had died in this wilderness." God says, No problem. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And then they talk about make a captain and go back to Egypt. Now think about this. Think about it. In chapter 13, verse 25, it talks about how these spies had been in the promised land, searching it out for 40 days. Okay? Now, how do you think they got back? How do you think after 40 days of searching out the promised land, how do you think they found their way back to Israel's camp? You think what? They left like breadcrumbs? Pull a Hansel and Gretel? Leave crumbs behind them so they can find? Well, these guys are pretty good at direction, I'm sure. And I'm sure that they had landmarks. But eventually, as they're headed back, I'll guarantee you, one night, they could look out over the horizon and they could see a glow in the sky. Amen. And they knew there's home. And the next morning when they got up, they knew what direction to look for that cloud. Because God said He'd never take that cloud that fire and fire away. So all they had to do was follow it. In other words, they're out there 40 days wandering around in the promised land, gathering up proof that it's everything God said it was, and then God is their beacon home. The cloud and the fire become their landmark to find their, because they didn't have to look for, you know, the stone that looks like a, you know, triple hump camel, or they didn't have to look for things like that anymore to get their way back. It came to the point where they could see that cloud in the distance, and at night they could see the glow of that fire, and eventually they made it back home. And as soon as they get back to camp, it's like it didn't even click with them. God's bringing us home. Didn't even click. And as soon as they get back, and the people are saying, well, how was it? What was it like? And they say, well, yeah, I mean, look, here's the fruit. I mean, it's, you know, flowing with milk and honey. It's just like God said. But these people there, they're warriors. They're big. There's no way we can whoop them. And then Moses, Caleb, Joshua, Aaron, they're standing there listening to this. And they're saying, we can't beat these people. And Caleb says, oh, yeah, we can. Yes, we can. How did Caleb know that? That man kept his eyes on the cloud and the fire. But he knew they could, because God had promised them this was their land. He had promised them these were their blessings. He promised them. And he says, we can do it. And the other said, no, we can't. And Moses is standing there listening to this, and he says, But the cloud and the fire. I mean, can you imagine? These guys come back. Now, this isn't in Scripture, but I'm sure it must have happened. I'm guessing that somebody would say, well, did you have any trouble finding your way home? No, man. We were 3 days out. We could see that glow in the sky. And then we knew where to look for the cloud during the day. No, I mean, yeah, it was easy. You mean you didn't have any problem following God to get back here? No, all we had to do is just walk in the direction of the cloud and the fire. Made it back okay. No kidding. Yeah, easy. Oh, but by the way, we could never take that land. We could never, even though right before our eyes, we saw the fire, the glow of the fire, right before our eyes, we could see that cloud as we were walking. There's no way we can do this. And Moses is saying, but the cloud has been with us this whole time. Fire has been with us the whole time. What is wrong with you people? Well, if you look in here in chapter 14, you know, God's had it up to here. And in verse 11, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses, he begins to talk to the Lord. He begins to read. He says, no, listen, God, you don't do it that way. So if you jump over to verse 20, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now, I'm not going to teach on this tonight, but this is a powerful sermon on intercession. He says, I have pardoned according to thy word. Remember what Jesus said? Maybe I am going to teach it. Remember what Jesus said? Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Remember that? These people didn't ask for forgiveness, now did they? They wanted to kill Moses and Aaron and Joshua, Caleb, anybody else that thought you should trust God. They wanted to kill him. And Moses says, wait. This won't go over well. It's best not to do this. Look, forgive them, okay? And God says, all right, I've pardoned them. Now think about that. Okay, now, if you've ever wondered whether any of those people that died in the wilderness made it to heaven, right here's your answer. They rejected the word of God, but on the intercession of Moses, God pardoned them for that sin. Now, they still had a sin nature. Don't misunderstand this. So God says, look, I pardon according to your word. I'm going to go way off on a tangent if I don't get back in this. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now, why would he say that? It's because these people were doing everything to keep the glory of the Lord from being demonstrated. He says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me out of these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Then he goes on to talk about, but Caleb, he'll see it. And he talks later on about Joshua, how Joshua is going to go in and so forth. So he pardons them and he says, yeah, listen, I'll pardon them for this, but their hearts are hardened to me in this. And my glory is going to be seen. They're going to have to die off so that the next generation can rise up and cause my glory to be seen. And so, you know the story. For 40 years, they wandered until all those folks, 20 and older, had died. Now turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now here's the thing. Think about this. The people back then did not have a Bible, but they did have the Word of God. You say, well, how in the world did they do that? Very simple. God spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to the people. They didn't have the Bible, but they had the Word of God. And remember, the cloud and the fire represented God's commandments. It was symbolism, if you will, of God speaking and God giving them instruction. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, take a look in verse 30. It says, the Lord your God, which... Now, this Moses is getting ready to die. And the book of Deuteronomy is him recapping everything to this next generation that's going to inherit the promised land. And he said, the Lord your God, which goeth before you... Now, stop. The Lord your God, which goeth before you. How does he do that? Cloud by day, fire by night. In other words, once again, he's reminding this next generation, this cloud and this fire, this is God. Follow the cloud, follow the fire, this is God. The Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that you went until you came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in cloud by day. Do you see this? He's going right back to the fact. Now here's the thing. He's not fussing at them at this point. He's not saying, listen, you had water from the rock. That should have been the thing you never forgot. I mean, he addresses the things that God did. But what he's pointing out in here is the fact you should never have taken your eyes off the cloud by day and the fire by night. That was your confirmation that God was leading you and guiding you in everything that you should do. That was your confirmation that even in a wilderness where there was no water and no food, God was going to provide for you. Even though you forgot about the wealth of Egypt and all the healing that took place when you came out of Egypt, he says, look, you had the cloud by day and you had the fire by night. And the fact that you kept taking your eyes off the cloud and fire and onto your circumstances, this is what really got God upset. Because He was right before your eyes the whole time. He was right there. And you should have never messed up. You should have never taken your eyes off Him. Okay, now. You have Christians today that would say things like, "Boy, bless God, I wish I had me a cloud by day and a fire by night. I wouldn't mess up. No siree. I mean, I've read this. I know what happens. Oh, if only I could have a cloud by day. If only I could wake up tomorrow and look out my window and see a cloud over the garage. If only at night I could see the glowing embers of God's fire in the sky. I'd know what to do." Now, you don't want a cloud by day and a fire by night. "Yes, I do, Brother Martin. It would be so much easier to obey God if I only had a cloud by day and a fire by night." You don't. No, you don't want that. "Yes, I do." No, trust me. You don't want that. Well, why not? Because the only people that ever had such a thing had a sin nature. That's why God gave them a cloud by day and a fire by night. They didn't have a nature capable of grasping and understanding the nature and the character of God. He had to do something outwardly because He couldn't do anything inwardly. And because He couldn't do anything inwardly, He had to put something tangible that their souls could comprehend. And even at that, they still rejected. They refused to acknowledge this. You say, "Well, yeah, but Brother Martin, what are we supposed to do?" There are so many tapes out there. Let me show you something. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now look here in verse 17. It says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." What does that mean? Well, the moment I accept Jesus, like Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, that Father, they would be one even as you and I are one. This is what it's talking about. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become one spirit, not one Holy Ghost. We share in God's life and nature. Spiritually, we have His life. Look over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So God, He wasn't in the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They had a sin nature. They had to have a cloud. They had to have the fire. But here God is saying, listen, when you become joined to my Son Jesus Christ, you become one spirit. I'm dwelling in you. Look over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 13. "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." Now here it's a capital S. It shouldn't be a capital S because it's not talking about Holy Ghost. It's talking about the same thing He was mentioning over there in 1 Corinthians, that we're one spirit with the Lord, or He has given us of His life. He has given His life. We are born again. We have His life and we have His nature on the inside of us. Okay, now, where is my cloud and where is my fire? Look over in 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me show you this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." That's my cloud by day and my fire by night. If I need, the people bellyached back then with Moses about not having food and about not having water. Okay, here I am today. If I go to the preacher and I start bellyaching about, "Why won't God heal me? Why won't God heal me? Why won't..." Here's my cloud by day and my fire by night. This is the Word of God. It tells me that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. The cloud and the fire provided for the Israelites when they were out there in the wilderness. When it looked like there was nothing to eat, when it looked like there was nothing to drink, God came through every time and they always had provision. When it looks like that there is no healing available to me, Here's my cloud by day and my fire by night. By His stripes I was healed. Look over in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's my cloud by day and my fire by night. When it looks like it's an impossible financial situation, when it looks like there is no way I'm going to make it, when it looks like nothing's going to happen, if I lift up my eyes away from my cloud by day and my fire by night, and I look at my checkbook, and I look at my bills, and I look at everything that I don't have, and I look at everything that I need, and everything that doesn't seem to be happening for me, and I start complaining, and I start bellyaching, do you understand I'm doing the same thing that the Israelites did when they fussed about not having water, when they fussed about not having food? There is no difference whatsoever. Philippians 4:19. This is my cloud by day and my fire by night. This is the Word of God. Because the cloud and the fire represented the commandment of God. This is a commandment of God. But my God shall supply all... Can you see? This is a commandment. This is a stated spiritual law for the body of Christ. By His stripes you were healed. A stated spiritual law for the body of Christ. It's mine. It's yours. It belongs to us. But if I lift up my eyes away from this and to my problem, then what I'm doing is I'm trusting in anything or everything other than my cloud and my fire. Let me show you something else. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now look here. Verse 14. For as many as are led by a cloud by day or a fire by night, they are the sons of God. God has replaced the cloud and the fire with the born-again spirit. Those of us who are led by our new nature. You say, what does that mean? Okay, God communicated to Israel by the cloud and by the fire. Yeah, He spoke through Moses too. But when that cloud began to move, they knew God was speaking. Let's pack up and hit the road. Yeah, but where do we go? He says, well, for now we're headed out into this wilderness. But God, there's nothing there. There is no water. There is no food. Why should we do that? It makes more sense to go this way. There are birds flying over there. That means there's food and water over there. We should go that way, God. He says, no, we're going this way. God, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. See, and this is exactly what Christians go through. When we're led by the Spirit, by our born-again Spirit, God is a Spirit, and that's how He communicates with us, is on a spiritual level. As we are being led by our new nature, God will lead us in the direction of what seems to be a wilderness. But you've got to understand, if God is leading us in what seems to be a wilderness, a spiritual wilderness, a ministry wilderness, what can I do over here? Why should I go over there? What's to be accomplished in this thing over there? If God is leading us in the direction of what seems to be a wilderness, you've got to understand He's God. And if He's leading us in that direction, it may look to us like it's a wilderness, but to Him, He knows that there's a rock prepared to give water when we need water. You can't see it with the natural eye. But it's already, that rock that they got the water from out there in the wilderness, that rock had been there for who knows how long, waiting for them. Centuries that rock had sat there doing nothing but waiting for the moment that the children of Israel would show up so it could split and give them water. Think about this. And if God is leading us in a direction that doesn't seem to have any success written above it, but we obey Him, we'll get out there in the middle of nothing and people will look and say, boy, that's stupid. You had an offer from a church down in Florida. Why didn't you take that? I mean, Florida. I mean, you had a 1,000-member church. Why didn't you take that? You had this over here. And everybody's going to think you're crazy. And everybody's going to think you're stupid. But when you're following the cloud by day and the fire by night, you're going to go in God's direction. And the provision in His will is going to be there. Amen. This is my cloud by day and my fire by night. In verse 16, it says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. My cloud by day and fire by night, the Holy Spirit. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit, He speaketh mysteries. What mysteries? Why in the world am I going in this direction? What is it, God, you want me to do? What is the next step for my ministry? What is the next step for my day-to-day life? What do you want me to do? Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He builds himself up spiritually to the point to where he's going to be able to clearly discern the cloud by day and the fire by night. The more that you pray in tongues, you're building yourself up so that you can become more aware of the cloud by day and fire by night. The more you keep your eyes focused. Listen, every time you're praying in tongues, this may not make a whole lot of sense to some people who don't pray in tongues, but every time that you pray in tongues, you're looking under the cloud by day and the fire by night. Because you're edifying yourself spiritually. He says down here in verse 14, when I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. This is my cloud by day and my fire by night, right here. I mean, we could go on and on with this verse after verse after verse after verse all throughout the New Testament. Our cloud by day, you'll know my word and my word will make you free. Cloud by day, fire by night, abide in me and my words abide in you. You ask what you will and you shall have it. That's my cloud by day and my fire by night. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's my cloud by day and my fire by night. You see this? You see, but the moment I start looking for a fleece of a cloud or a fleece of a fire is the moment I get my eyes off of God and onto something that is created. And I'm telling you what, creation is not the place from whence cometh my help. My cloud by day and my fire by night is what God has said to me in His Word. My cloud by day and my fire by night is my born-again spirit that God communes with. He dwells in me by virtue of that. And here's the thing. There's so many Christians that don't understand this. And so what do? They buy self-help books. They buy what do you do books. They buy how to be a good pastor books. They buy how to be a good evangelist books. All written by people. Telling you need to do it this way. And there is wisdom and counsel and so we understand that. But what I'm saying is most Christians don't understand how to rely on their cloud by day and their fire by night. They don't. We want people to tell us what to do. We lift up our eyes away from our cloud and fire and look unto man and look unto things. And I'm telling you right now, the moment you got born again, the cloud and the fire moved inside. The moment that you got born again is the moment that this word became illuminated. It's the moment that this word took on a character of its own. It's always been life, but the moment you got born again is the moment that the life of the word could join with the life of your spirit to become, as it were, a cloud by day and a fire by night. There is no book of Barry in the New Testament. No book of Don. There is a book of James, hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? When it comes to the general direction God wants me to go, the general concept of how He wants me to live, it's all right in here. But when it comes to the specifics, what do I do tomorrow? What do I do next week? Where do I go next month? That comes from within. That comes from the spiritual communication that I carry on with God to receive that. One of the craziest things in the world that I used to hear, I think it's crazy now, people that would teach, God doesn't speak anymore. I'm sure some of you have heard that over the years. God doesn't speak anymore. Then how do you know what to do? Well, if it just makes sense. How do you know what to preach? Well, if it just seems to make sense. But what if it doesn't make Scripture? Listen, I don't want God to have to show up in a tangible cloud and a tangible fire. Kenneth Copeland one time was speaking to the Lord, said, I wish you'd show up and appear before me. And the Lord answered him and said, I can do that, but it'll set you back, I think he said, 5 years in your ministry. In other words, if you're having to depend upon a tangible visitation by me for you to be convinced I want you to do something, you're going to start looking for tangible visitations. If it happens, it happens. Let it happen. Praise God. And I wouldn't mind it happening. I think it'd be kind of cool. Jesus showed, well, at least I think it would be. Kind of depends on what he wants to talk about. You know what I'm... Those who are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I have my cloud by day and my fire by night. I need to learn to keep my eyes on it and not turn away unto other things. And when I do, I am going to follow everything God wants me to do. I'll end up fulfilling His will upon my life. Praise God. Praise God. I'm sorry that the Israelites messed up, but I praise God for that example and that lesson that God is giving to us here all these thousands of years later. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand. There are a lot of people, there are people even in this room. You've struggled with knowing what God wants, His will. The Lord wants you to know it's because primarily two things. Number one, you really aren't spending enough time in His presence. You really aren't seeking Him the way that you should. A lot of other things in your life have taken precedence. But the other reason is because you're looking for the answers in the wrong places. You're trying to get direction from things and from people. You're trying to... What's a good way to put it, Lord? You're waiting on people instead of waiting on God. You're looking for confirmation that is outside of your spirit instead of from within. The Lord says that He has been trying to give direction, but you just haven't been receiving it. And He said, the past is the past. If you truly want to know what I want, if you truly want to know the direction I'm leading you, if you truly want to understand the fullness of my calling upon your life, make a decision that you're willing to follow me, no matter what it takes. And then act like you mean it. Seek me. Spend time in my presence. Spend time praying, worshiping. Spend time in my word. Let me begin feeding your spirit and depositing into you those things that pertain to my life in you and those things which pertain to my will for your life. He says, if you will do this, then I will begin to show you and you will begin to see what I'm doing in your life. You will begin to see and understand the direction that I'm taking you. The Lord says that during times of prayer, one of the things that we need to do, not exclusively congregationally, but individually as well, that we need to continue confessing that all the people who are supposed to be here are going to be here. Because there are people out there right now that God has spoken to many times about they're supposed to be in this church, and they haven't done it. And in some cases, this is a demonic stronghold. They don't realize that this is a demonic stronghold. But it's holding them back. The Lord says that we need to continue to confess that all the people that the Lord wants here are here, that they are coming in and they are continuing to come in, and that Satan's work in their life is destroyed, that the chains that are holding them back are completely broken, and that these people are loosed, they're set free, that they hear the word of the Lord, they know what they're supposed to do, and that they are coming in. He says there are some people that they don't even know that this church is here, but He's trying to show them this ministry, but Satan is keeping them blinded. And He said we need to continue to declare that the blinders are removed and that they have eyes that see and ears that hear. Because God said there are a lot of people, it's like a puzzle, and that These people represent pieces to fit into this puzzle. So he's just exhorting and encouraging us to continue to do this.